Hey guys, before we get rolling here, I just want to thank those of you who have left me a review on iTunes. This helps me keep the podcast free, so please keep them coming. Tell your friends. I also want to thank those guys that have been sending in the questions. This is what this podcast is about. It's about getting you the info that you need to help become a better hunter. Now you can actually go to my website, interviewswiththehuntingmasters.com, and click on the Ask the Pro section. And you can send me your questions there, and you can even suggest a guest. And lastly, before we jump into this episode, I want to shed a little light on one of my sponsors, Sneak Tech Sneak Boots. I've been wearing them now for several years, and they've really upped my stalking game. I'm not a very sneaky person, and I find that extra added stealthiness that they give me has really, really improved my stalk. I believe in them so much that I've decided to give away one pair each month to a lucky subscriber. So if you're a subscriber, once a month, I'm going to be announcing a winner to win a pair of Sneak Tech boots. So go ahead and go check them out at sneaktech.com, and that's SneekTech.com. Let's get to the next episode. Hi, welcome to Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. This week, we're going to talk to a good friend of mine, Zach Kenner, the hardworking hunter, and we're going to talk a little bit about mule deer hunting specifically, I think, and because Zach is like me, travels a lot, he goes a lot of different places, likes to new adventures. I'd like to hear how he does it, how he does his scouting, how he looks into, you know, areas to hunt and so on and so forth and goes about. Zach's kind of hit the film circuit here this year. He's got a film out in the Full Draw Film Tour called True Conservation. We're going to talk to a little bit about that and go from there. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Just stuffing 10 gallons of shit in a 5-gallon hat today, but
yeah,
I'm actually doing this. I usually don't do podcasts when my family's home. My family's here, so if somebody comes busting through the door, one of the kids comes screaming in here. I apologize in advance. Just kind of getting all my stuff together. I got my first. I just came off my first hunt, but my first like big hunt of the year is Utah. I drew Central Manti elk tag, and I'm doing that in August. Because I also drew a Wyoming bull tag as well. And I just figured that Manti, I was there hunting around the same time for deer last year, and I saw a lot of elk, and it was very glassable. And where I drew in Wyoming is not a very glassable unit. So I'm going to kind of have to rely more and be able to call them and follow bugles and so on and so forth. So I decided, let me go to Wyoming in the rut and then Utah, you know, in that early part of the season. So
how'd it go?
What's that?
How'd it go?
Like, I didn't go yet. I'm going.
Oh, I thought you said you were coming off of it. As I said,
no, I just came off my first. I just came off my first hunt, which was in California, which was a blacktail hunt.
Blacktail, right?
Yeah, and I got my ass kicked again. Like, I don't know what the hell, what it is about that. Well, I know what it is. It's the terrain and the conditions, really. Because the deer themselves, yeah, they're cagey, but they're not like worse than a coos deer or anything like that.
Right. I've
killed my share of those. It's the time of year. It's super dry. The grass is like freaking chest high, and it's just not good conditions.
You only get an hour in the morning, an hour at night to see them, you know?
Right.
That makes it really hard.
But the difference was this year, I hunted a different area. We were on the coast more than anything this year. And like years past, I basically every single morning, the evenings were a little shaky, but every single morning in the 3 years prior, I got on deer. And I was making stalk after stalk after stalk. And I wasn't getting busted. I would just get to a spot where I couldn't go any closer. And I was kind of just hoping, praying that they were kind of feeding my direction, and it never happened. I can't tell you how many bucks I sat like just beautiful bucks where I was like at 110 yards or 120 yards and just wishing that I brought, you know, my bow with a slider on it or something so I could send one at 120, you know. But, you know, I don't like to hunt with that bow. It's kind of just a, you know, a target bow for me. But I, you know, so I could never get to that 80-yard mark. I had one opportunity last year on the very first morning I got on – probably one of the biggest ones that I've actually got an opportunity to hunt. He was mid 150s, which is giant for, I think, for right. coastal blacktail. And I slipped in. I thought I was at 70, but because I kept ranging and I was hitting the grass, I think hitting the grass in front of him because he was laying down. Yeah. And he must have been. Because I went after the shot, I went down to him and I ranged back up to where I was sitting, something solid, and it was coming back 77. So I was either 75 to 77 actually away from him. So I shot right underneath him. Yeah, and that was my only opportunity that I was actually in range, and I freaking blew it. So it was
kind of
devastating. But this year, I didn't even make a stalk till the last day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just were. I was seeing little 2-point. I had a legal buck. I mean, technically legal buck pass in front of me, at like 35, a little under 40 yards. I mean, I totally could have shot him, but I was like, I put so much time and effort into it. I just didn't want to just shoot anything, just to shoot something. Yeah. But yeah, no. But that last day, I had like 4 stalks, and I was like a minute late and a dollar short on every single one of them. Like the very first one. We were getting there and he was kind of feeding in an open thing and I had a rise like between him and I. So I was moving, man. I was cooking. I had to climb all the way up the mountain, but I got to the point when I got to him and I was like literally 50 yards from cresting to the top of the rise and I would have had like a 75-yard shot to him. And, you know, I was going slow because it was kind of crunchy and it wasn't that windy that morning. So and then he just started feeding and he fed away until he fed into the tree line. And I just, you know, had I been there 5 minutes earlier or 3 minutes earlier, even I would have at least had a shot opportunity. And then like literally within 30 minutes of that, my buddy Charles that I've been hunting with, he radios him. He's like, hey, I got another buck. I'm like, okay, let's just go for it. So again, I get up there literally 20 seconds before I got into a position where I was going to be able to get a shot at him. I was just coming through these. He got up and he moved and he dropped down and he got and laid that back down on the other side of the tree because the shade was shifting, you know.
Oh, right.
The sun would just started hitting him in the face at that point. And I was like, I cannot believe this. I'm like, if I would have ran a little bit faster up the hill or something, you know. But I was that one I was going into completely blind. You know, he was just radioing to me and telling me where to go and how to get to it. So like had I seen him, I probably would have been so cautious and I would have known exactly the route I would have taken. You know, it takes a little bit of doing if you've never done that one before with somebody else. And yeah, but and it was just like constantly. And then the very, very last stalk of the night, that night I got and this was on me, I busted the deer. I was pushing it. It was getting really dark and I was already at 45 yards. I didn't know I was at 45 yards because I couldn't really see him. And because I'm an idiot, I got to that point and I was looking where my rangefinder ranging things just in case he jumped up. And I put the rangefinder down and Jake radios him. He goes, hey, he's looking up in your direction. I'm like, oh shit, you know? So I kind of squatted back down. And I'm like, I just sat there for like 10 minutes and he was just still looking up. And finally, I'm like, screw it. He's looking up. So I stood back up. I figured had he seen me, I would have already been busted. And I picked up my binos and I could see the tips of his antlers. And I'm like, oh shit. So I put my binos back down and I clipped back in. And I took one step forward and just jumped up and ran. I was like, ah, it was just like, I just.
Right there.
You know, yeah, it was just terrible. But he was a big, big 2x2. He was a big forky, that last guy. But the other two were really good bucks.
Yeah, I want to make it down there one of these years and have a go at him. But
yeah,
it'll happen.
Everybody tells me to just go to Oregon. So much better, so much easier. Not easier, but so much more conducive to.
Well, I like the Cali because of the season. You know, it's
Yeah.
earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
That's exactly why I like being cool. Who the hell's hunting in July? Nobody.
yeah. Oh,
That and I
August,
always.
July and
Yeah.
or August. You know, I mean, there's
Yeah.
some. You know, Utah opens earlier, but
Yeah.
and
Arizona
Nevada.
opens in August too.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
I don't
so.
go down there until January. So,
Yeah. I don't blame you.
yeah.
I don't even hunt here in August anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once in a blue moon I'll get out, but typically I'm going somewhere else just to get out of it. I'm so tired of the heat by that time, I don't ever
Oh,
go.
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
Anyway.
it's like 115 down there today.
God, it's terrible, and it's so humid right now.
Oh.
I went and checked the property this morning, and I was like, I came back and I was out there for 15 minutes, and I looked like I took a shower. It was just soaking wet. It's terrible. So,
But
anyway, well, let's get a little rundown about yourself. Give me a little, like a short little bio, a little rundown about yourself and what you do, and then we'll roll into some questions.
yeah, so like I said, I'm Zach Kenner. I grew up in Eastern Washington, and I've pretty much grown up hunting mule deer my whole life. You know, hunted elk occasionally here and there, but pretty much been a mule deer hunter through and through. You know, now the last few 4 or 5 years, I've been really branching out, hunting other states, multiple species, you know, and just mentioning the coos deer, like that's one of my favorite hunts now, going down there in January.
They
And
get underneath your skin, those little bastards.
oh man, it's so much fun, you know. And so yeah, I've been filming for a long time, but really stepped up and, you know, bought some nice cameras and learned how to edit and doing all that the last, oh, 3 years or so. And so well, really it was kind of my goal to make the Full Draw film tour. That's kind of what really set the tone for, you know, my style of filming and whatnot now.
Right.
And so yeah, last year I didn't make it. I didn't quite have the storyline. He played they played my movie that I had here for a couple of the local shows, but that was about it. And then
Right.
but yeah, but then this year, yeah, I made the tour, and that's been going really well.
That's awesome.
Jade bought the tour from Cody, and he's took it to a whole new level. The tour's gone so many places this year that it's never been before.
Right.
So it's been cool. It's been fun to see, or fun to watch the progress. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting film. I really don't want to give it all
Yeah.
away because
Yeah,
it's
no, we
such.
don't need to talk about the actual film itself.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's called True Conservation. I
Yeah.
remember when you sent it to me when you first did it.
Yeah.
And even when it was super rough around the edges, I told you that. I'm like, I think you got a winner. You just got to tell the storyline better.
Yeah.
And I mean, I definitely don't want to take credit for what you've done, but I remember you did a lot of things that I had told you to do,
Yeah.
and automatically I was like, this is clicking. I'm like, when then you cleaned it up even more and you took it to the next level, and it's just like,
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic, because nobody's ever done anything like that for one,
Right.
and two, it's just a really good, it's a good story. It's got like, people can relate to it, at least I think
Yeah.
hunters relate to it. So yeah,
No,
you definitely got to check that out, guys.
I've had some amazing feedback just, you know, from people I've never met from across the country. Like, have sent me DM me messages and stuff and tell me how much it touched them. And you know, and not just the hunters, but the hunters' wives, the hunters' daughters. You know, it really tugs on the heartstrings. So, you know, it's definitely one of a kind. And you know, it's like I said, it's been awesome for it to be on the tour, but I'm even more excited to release it to the public, you know, come this next winter
Right.
when the tour's over. And I mean, I've got some big plans for it. You know, it's Mule Deer Foundation said they're already gonna be willing to help me, you know, spread the word
Nice.
and let everybody see that film, because it really tells a conservation story. So
That's awesome.
yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm excited.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's been amazing. And I don't
All the
know how
hard
I'm
work
gonna,
paying off.
yeah. And I don't know how I'm gonna one up that one. Like that,
Do you know what? That's the thing. I used to think of it that way, as, oh, how am I gonna better, or not, necessarily one up it. It's just not that. Just gotta just tell the stories as they come. Because if you start trying to like fabricate, or not fabricate, but kind of enhancing things so that they seem better than the last one. I mean, yeah, you could improve your cinematography. You can get better with your shot. Because obviously, I mean, you did a lot with a little. I mean, your original footage was kind of, I mean, it was raw, and the shot footage was bad. I mean, you had your dad holding the camera, never ran a camera before. I mean, so to get it to a film tour for what you had, I mean, that's amazing. So just going forward, now that you have all this, you have new equipment, you know, you got a lot more experience underneath your belt. Because I mean, when did you shoot? That was 2 years ago that you actually shot those.
2 years ago, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you got two more years of experience. I mean, so just by default, your films are going to be better.
Well, it shows for itself. If you go to like my YouTube channel and see my Wyoming 2016 film, I mean, the cinematography, the shots I took are just tenfold better compared to, you know, that 2015 year. So yeah. I mean, going forward, I'm excited to see what I can produce for sure.
Sweet. So, well, that'd be cool, man. I'm excited to see what you're going to produce. I'm actually kind of, I'm stepping away from doing stuff a lot. Just, you know, I'm still trying to film my hunts, and if one of them comes out film worthy, I'm, you know, I'll make a film from it. But I just don't have, it's not that I have the passion for it. I have the drive for it. I just don't have the people behind me, anymore. I don't have the time, and it's just, I'm a terrible editor. I'm a great storyteller. I know how I want it to look, but the actual mechanics of editing, it's like I have a hard time sitting in front of the computer to do that. If I could do that, then I think my films would be a lot better. Instead of me having to try to explain to somebody else how I want it to be, you know, want it to look. And that's where my biggest disconnect is. But I don't have it in me to go, you know, learn how to be an awesome, you know, Final Cut user or whatever.
And it's expensive if you're going to have somebody else edit it. Like that's crazy expensive. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how much longer. I mean, I'm definitely kind of the same as you. We're all probably always try and film it, but I mean, I'm still going to try for a couple more years to kind of, you know, really take it to the next level, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to say because I mean, passion only takes you so far. And if you're not making money off these things, it's kind of hard, you know, it's kind of hard to keep doing them. So you're self-funding.
Yeah.
Well, so interviews with the masters, we get questions thrown at us all the time on social media. On, if you go to johnstallone.me, there's Ask the Pros deal. You kind of, you know, put in questions and stuff. So we get all these questions. And we're going into early season mule deer hunts. So my questions for you today are based on those. Gotcha. We already said that, you know, you're a guy that hunt multiple species in multiple states, and you hunt varying landscapes. You kind of, you know, do what I do. Like, you know, you'd like to travel, venture hunter.
Right.
Can you, and try to be as specific as possible, can you give me a plan that somebody could adapt into the skill set on what it is you do when you're researching, take it from research to, you know, actually getting in the field and doing what you got to do. Like if, you know, how do you pick your spot? How do you do your cyber scouting? How do you do your actual scouting? You know, what is it that you do that, you know, puts deer on the ground?
Yes. It's actually kind of a tricky question. You know, I mean, there's no one answer to cover it all. You know, I mean, for example, I mean, I'll use Utah as an example. Last year, I hunted Utah for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'd never really been to the mountains that I was hunting. You know, I e-scouted, looked for some basin looking country and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But really all I did was, because I knew, especially in those bigger mountains, what it looks like on Google Earth is a lot of times completely different of what it looks like in person.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll just, get on like Onyx Maps or whatever and see what's public, what big chunks of public, kind of overlap that with Google Earth and look at it and go, okay, yeah, this is all national forest. I got a lot of country here I can hunt. And a lot of times I show up a day or two early before I want to start hunting and just drive around and look at the country of what I can see from a road. And look up into high basins and peaks from roads and shoot. There was one time last year where we kind of got pushed out of our first spot by people and really lack of deer. And I drove to a completely new area, never been to it, and was glassing up herds of bucks at 3 miles away one, that morning. And way up from the road up into these basins. Now, I couldn't necessarily see what they had for horns. I could see they had horns. But I just go, dude, there's two bachelor herds of bucks up there. There's probably more. Let's hike up there for the day and see what's there tomorrow and just get closer and see what we could find. And that actually turned out to be one of the better spots I'd found, but kind of similar to you on those blacktail hunts where we hunted for full 10 days and never really got a chance. And that's just how it goes. But we did find some shooter bucks. It just took time because I'd never been there before. And so, that's another thing where you kind of gotta keep realistic expectations where that was my first year there and I not necessarily gonna get a buck, maybe, but the hardest part, especially in those high mountains, is just finding them. And so now that I kind of have been there once, found them, I bet you I could go back and do a lot better. It's e-scouting only takes you so far, and then sometimes it just takes a little bit of luck. But and then I'll cross-reference. So for example, like what unit to go hunt, and I could use kind of Arizona as an example for that because I've only hunted that for 2 years. And the first year I went down there, a buddy of mine has a Hunt and Fool subscription, and we got on and or looked through the magazine and kind of read, we read the draw rifle descriptions because, with the late archery, you can pretty much hunt all of those. And just were kind of reading, buck quality, buck numbers. And then same thing, I cross-reference, those informational paragraphs with where's the most public ground in those units. And, because if I can get out there and cover a lot of that country in that public ground, I'm going to find deer. And this is me never even really understanding, what I was getting myself into, a whole new species in a completely different environment. And we got down there and I knew those deer are going to be in the rut, so they're going to be moving. So I just put myself high and started glassing and lo and behold, you're picking out movement, and it's actually amazing how many deer are and so are down and around those mountains. But it's not just one unit either, because then the next year I'm like, okay, that was fun, but let's try a different unit. And it didn't matter where we went, we were finding coos deer everywhere,
Yeah,
so
if you catch the rut right over here, it doesn't matter what unit you go to, you're gonna find them. Yeah, for sure.
and so that but I feel like even though that is kind of specific because it's the rut, I'm looking at a couple different hunts right now, different states I've never been to. And but it's the same process. I'm trying to figure out where the biggest chunks of public ground are, what units those are in, and then what the seasons are available. And then when I get there, for example, like let's say it's a high desert, I'm gonna probably try for early season, try to find some water sources, and because they got to drink, and kind of go from there as to put myself high and start glassing. That's just that's what I do.
Do you so I'd imagine that because you're relying on your ability to glass, I'd imagine you're looking for areas that are more conducive to glassing. Like you're not going to go into some crazy thick area that you can't see 3 feet. And that was actually kind of what I was running into in Cali on the coastal properties that we hunted this year. We couldn't see. You couldn't glass. So I didn't take my 15s out. But so do you have like, okay, if you're looking at a piece of land, do you have like specific starting points? I know obviously you told me you're looking for a glassing spot, something that you can get set up on and see a lot of country. But are you looking for like any key features specifically? You mentioned looking for bowl stuff.
I mean, depending on which country you're in, you know, the high mountains, early season, the looking for basins, you know, fairly open, fairly rocky, even a lot of those mule deer, you know, are going to be up living with the mountain goats, you know,
ledgy type stuff, right?
Whereas, you know, you go eastern Montana, the Dakotas, you know, like the Badlands.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking for drainages that hold water, and those deer aren't going to be far from them. You know, anything that, you know, you can get on Google Earth and pick out, you know, July, August, September on the months, and then look over your area and see what's green.
Yeah.
Because that's where there's going to be water. So, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good tip, I think, in the desert country when you're e-scouting.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you're looking for those kind of bigger, deep drainages that those bucks are going to go bed in, and try to find a same story, though, a spot where you can look down a good chunk of it, you know, and glass a lot of it at once.
Yeah.
And then for me, a lot of times I'll try to do it where it's at least 2 to 3 miles off a road if I can.
Right.
So,
which sometimes is difficult to do.
Yeah.
I like, for instance, like Wyoming, because I've been hunting there for a long time. I know if I go on Google, I could tell you where deer are going to be, because you get so used to seeing that same type of terrain. And correlating the sightings of bucks, like basically if you're hunting the, you know, the northern plains of Wyoming, if you find like those cedar breaks, there's going to be deer there.
Yeah,
no matter what. I mean, I don't know, they're going to be big deer or the deer that you're looking for, but there's going to be deer there for sure. It's like, it just has that right topography, has the right vegetation, and like you said, the ability to hold little pockets of water. And I think that just goes back to learning the behavior based on, I mean, mule deer behavior is pretty, you know, consistent across the board, but it gets the little minute things of where you're at, like, you know, in the desert, you know, okay, water is key. You know, if you're in a, you know, dry environment, water is key. But or really windy, you got to look for a lot of breaks. Got to look for a lot of, you know, wide open spanses. You got to look for a lot of little like undulations and breaks. And I think those are the keys that.
Or if it's wide open spaces, you're looking for those shaded sides, because that's the only,
right.
You know, without trees to put themselves in shade, they're gonna find a cut bank to go up under. So
yeah, so it's funny, we're in Cali. We got to this one spot. It was a good glassing spot. We could see, you know, see the mountainside very well. And I turned over to Charles. I go, Charles, we're glassing from the wrong area. I said, I guarantee you, if we go back up the road this way and come around and look at from the other angle, I said, because the sun's coming across us like this, and all the shades on the right side of the tree. I said, all the bucks are going to be bedded on that side of the tree. Sure enough. I mean, I stayed put because I was trying to look for this one area where we had seen that one buck that I stalked in the morning. I was trying to pick him up in the trees, like look through the thick stuff. Charles goes over there. Hey, I got that. That's where he found the big forky. He's like, like he picked it up in like seconds. And I was like, yeah. I mean, if you just got to kind of like, you get an idea what deer do. And that stalk I made in the morning, I said, I got to move my ass up there because of that shade's going to come right across his face sooner or later, and he's going to get up and move. And sure enough, I didn't get up there in time. But, you know, it's just those things like that that kind of like, I think that set the people who consistently take animals apart.
A lot of that's just experience, you know, trying to explain that to a new guy. It's hard. I mean, that's what the most I can tell somebody is to actually just get out there and do it. I mean, like I just said it on my Utah hunt last year, I mean, we didn't even get a stalk, you know, and that's just part of it. I went, I learned some country. I kind of know mule deer behavior already, but it was just how mean that country was. I underestimated it really, you know, and it kicked my butt when I got there. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just, you just got to get out and learn it. I mean, you can't expect success on the first trip out.
Yeah.
And so.
I actually had a bunch of stalks in my Utah hunt last year. I had a little bit of a leg up. I gotta say, because I have a buddy of mine that lived there. Although he only hunted with me for 2 days, he showed me a few areas, which, you know, gotcha, obviously always helps out. Derek Kiesel, he like, you know, and I actually made some friends, some guys from Arizona that were hunting there that had been hunting there forever. They live up in Havasu. Sam and his dad Franny, and you know, I hunted with them a little bit. I was actually with him when he killed his buck, and I helped him pack it out. It was he shot a pretty decent buck. I missed one too, 2 days before the one that I ended up shooting on the last day. I shot one on the last day, last minute. It's a cool 4x2, like, you know, nothing giant, but you know, yeah, 130 inch buck. But I missed a pretty good one, like a 150 something 4x4. And it was just super windy, and he was facing me broadside, and I just never got the pin settle. It was just, the wind was just blowing me back. And
yeah,
you know, I get delusions of grandeur that I'm the greatest archery hunter ever, and I take shots that I probably shouldn't take. So
you know, then the other example too, like 2 years ago when we went down to Arizona for the first time, we had zero expectations of actually killing a deer. I mean, right, like, yeah, we were pretty optimistic, but going into something, I'd never really been to Arizona before. Mm-hmm. You know, you just see the stuff you see on YouTube and on TV. It's like, I mean, from what you can tell, a lot of the good coosier hunting's a little higher in the mountains. And it's like, well, let's just go find the big chunks of state ground, national forest that have the mountains in them, you know, and
yeah,
just go exploring. I mean, that's all it was. And, you know, I missed a couple of, well, one really nice buck, and then my buddy ended up getting one. And I mean, it was just amazing the, you know, that we got that lucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the second year going back down there, complete confidence that, yep, we were going to kill deer, you know, I mean, because we'd been down there, we'd experienced it, and we did. We killed three out of three tags.
Awesome bucks.
You know, tagged, yeah, out. So yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna back up a little bit. We started talking about like behavior and all that stuff, and you said something. You just got to get out there and, yeah, get some experience. But it's not just getting out there and getting experience, because if you think about it, there's guys that go out and hunt like up for, okay, we'll talk about coos deer. There's guys here that have been hunting coos deer for their whole lives and never killed one with a bow. It's
yeah,
it's going out there, getting experience, but paying attention and recording those incidents, you know, like, I think that's the main thing, is you got to like really like, okay, that just happened. What the hell did I do? Analyze what, yeah, I did wrong, what I did right, like, and then being able to recall on those things. So like, you made whatever mistakes you made that first year, you learned whatever you learned on that first year. And when you came back the second year, that's why you were confident, because you're like, okay, I know what I did wrong, I know what I did right. Now I know if I do this, and that, my chances, right, of getting one are going to go way the hell up. If you just keep going out there and doing the same as thing you do every single time and don't make adjustments,
you, yeah,
know, you're probably going to get the same result every time, yeah, unless you get lucky.
No, that's a good point. You know? That's a good point for sure.
And that's why guys talk about, oh, I'd rather be lucky than good. Yeah, if you're going to rely on luck. So I'm a very unlucky guy. Everybody who knows me, they're like, I can't believe that you actually kill things. Because if it's gonna happen, if it's bad luck is gonna happen, it's gonna happen to me. Because it always does. Like, I mean, I just told you on my blacktail hunt, you know, just a little stupid. I mean, it's not like, okay, it's not bad luck, but it's like, come on, seriously, throw me a freaking bone. You couldn't let him sit there for one more minute. You know, it's like, yeah. But so I think it's being able to recognize the things that you do right and the things that you, and analyze the things that you do wrong and make corrections and adapt, that is going to make you the most successful out in the field. That's my, that's my two cents. And you said it, but you didn't say it. Like, you said it without knowing you were saying it. I'm just clarifying it for you. Cause I know what you're saying. Getting out there and getting the experience. Cause you're that type of guy. That's, you know, you go explore, you make your mistakes, and then next year I'm getting a deer no matter what.
Yeah.
This is why blacktail's killing me, because I've made whatever adjustments I need to make and I still keep fucking it up.
Man. It happens though.
I mean, now I gotta wait till next year to do it again. So that's the other thing. You know, you go for 4 or 5 days. This year I went 7. But
No, I want to go down there and do that hunt for sure. That's I don't know exactly where you're, you know, what area you were kind of hunting, but
Mendocino County, basically.
I want to do some of the high, Sonoma, more of the high country stuff. You know, there's that that northwest corner.
That's B zone stuff. Go to the Trinities. Yep. Yeah. Yep. No, that's supposed to be way better hunting, and like, you're not going to deal with the crap that I'm dealing with.
The thick stuff.
Yeah, it's not even just the thick stuff. It's the conditions are different. You're looking more at a mountain hunt.
Yeah.
There's a lot more water. There's a lot more green up there. It's not as – so everybody that I've ever talked to, and I keep – but I'm like, I'm so hell-bent now that I need to get it done in A zone, and I need to get it done on the coast. And it's like, I'm like, you know, I'm so just hell-bent. This has got to happen. And when I do, that's when I'm going to switch over to B zone what is it, B4 or whatever I think it's called. That's supposed to be – I mean, there's the hunts are way better. And you could hunt bear that time of year. There's bear everywhere. Shit, I can't tell. Yeah. I mean, this year, I didn't see any bear. A lot of bear sign, but I didn't see any bear this year. But in years prior, we glassed up so many bears, and you're like, fuck, I can't shoot this damn bastard. So I think Charles had one walk past him at 20 yards last year. It's like, son of a bitch. So, but yeah. Let's see. I kind of lost my place over here. I had some questions for you that I wanted to get covered. Well, I got – so when you set out into the woods and you look for a place to hunt, you choose a direction that you – you know, the direction that you want to go. Is there like a method to your madness, or do you just like, you know –
There's deer everywhere, literally everywhere. I mean, yeah, there's places that are better than others, but I mean – As long as there's a, I feel like if it's a big enough chunk of public land, like I'm going to cover country and just find them, you know, I mean, that's, and I guess it's kind of like what you were saying. It's, I'm relying on my glass a lot, but I mean, that's, to me, it's just, as long as there's enough country there, I'll find them. I mean, there's deer in there. There's deer everywhere. So I really don't have an exact method other than, I mean, we kind of already covered it. Like, if it's in desert stuff, I'm going to be heading towards water, you know, or, you know, where there's green shrubbery and not just dry, you know, dry, crisp nothingness. Mm-hmm. If it's in the mountains, especially for mule deer, I'm going up, you know, the higher you can go and get an eagle eye on them, you know, you're going to find them.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't really hunt, you know, that's going to be different, you know, hunting thick stuff for blacktail, especially in like, you know, Oregon, California. I mean, that's a whole different tactic that I'm really not familiar with because I haven't done it.
Right.
So, from what I can tell, a lot of,
I feel like if I can tree stand hunt them and I had time to scout and throw cameras and stuff like that, I can get them killed. Cause for me, I feel like that hunt is more conducive to the way I hunt whitetail back east or something like that.
And I've been told
that Western style hunting, glassing, stalking, it's a little tough to do in the areas that I've been hunting anyway. Yeah. So my buddy Charles, he still hunts. He just walks. Like, he's just silent, though. But I mean, I'm like a woolly mammoth coming through the freaking like, that style don't work for me.
So that means you're good at hunting elk.
Yeah, exactly. I sound like a whole herd of elk coming.
That's right.
So. Oh, shit. But so I want to, what's that one sign that you see when you're in the woods that you're like, I'm going to see deer today? You seen something
out
there? What is it that you see, or a basin, or a landscape feature, whatever? What is that one thing that you see and you're like, there's going to be freaking deer right there?
You know, that definitely depends on the country. I jump over to Idaho, for example. There's a spot I hunt over there where, you know, it's not really like high basin stuff, you know, like Colorado or Wyoming, but you know, you'll be hiking along and there'll be a little burn or something, and there's buck brush there, you know, and where the rest of it's kind of just like, whether they're huckleberry bushes or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, you get up a little bit higher and there's a pretty good patch of buck brush. Like, I feel like I'm going to see, there's going to be deer on that hillside somewhere. And because they like to summer in those buck brush patches for some reason, you know, they nibble on them. I don't know what's in them, but, so, I mean, it's spot specific, you know, like, definitely like in that spot of Idaho, like, that's what I look for. And that's, like I said, though, that's experience. 'Cause I've been there before, I've hunted it a couple times, and that seems to be where I see deer.
Right.
Completely different to where, you know, you go like, yeah, to Wyoming and it's like, yeah, there's.
Do you hear my kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yelling at each other. Maniacs.
It was sheer love. They're just yelling out of love.
My two girls fight like cats and dogs, man.
We all do when we're young. But yeah, so it's totally spot specific, and it's or you know, like, I get out here in Eastern Washington and there's a lot of agriculture. And so you're either looking for like chunks of CRP that, you know, that are in there for 10 years and, you know, they're not necessarily farmed. I mean, they are planted into this CRP, which, you know, helps with erosion and helps with wildlife conservation and habitat. I mean, those deer love those little chunks.
Yeah.
And when you got that bordering like an alfalfa field, you know, I mean,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so it's
like a, yeah, it's like a mall.
Yeah, exactly.
So deer mall.
It totally depends on where you are.
Yeah.
But definitely, you know, more mountain country. You know, you come around the corner and there's just a nice, beautiful green basin. It's like, that's the spot, you know?
Right.
So it just depends. That's the best answer I could really say.
No, but yeah. It goes back to what we were saying earlier. And that's just paying attention and keeping a mental note. Okay. I see deer here. I've seen deer here. Why are those deer there?
Yeah.
And taking those components and applying it to wherever, you know, if you go to hunt a different area in the same state or whatever, I see that this has this and this has this, this has this, there's buck rush, there's, you know, bramble, there's this and that, and there's going to be deer, you know? So yeah, like for instance, like we were talking about coos deer. I know that if I find a giant chunk of like really thick ocotillo with some open space next to it and then some thick stuff above it, there's going to be deer in there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's their thing. Every species of deer in every area that there's something commonality of things that they like. And that if you can figure out what that recipe is, you can apply it to any area that you hunt in and you'll be able to find deer.
Yeah.
Or elk or antelope or anything else, you know, it's the same thing. So.
Yeah, and not just, I mean, like you said, you're basically figuring it out to their needs. You know, they need food, they need water, they need shelter. They're three basic needs, just like us. So, I mean, you'll be walking along through the forest and noticed that this certain flower, all the heads are eaten off of it. And just random little things like that you pick up on. So, or you'll be walking along and the opposite, all their heads are on them. And it's like, okay, well, on that ridge line, they were all gone. So they're probably either haven't been here or they've already moved through it. I mean, just little things like that. So,
Attention is in the detail, or success is in the details, for
yeah.
sure. Attention to the details is key. Well, cool, man. So do you have any, I know you and I kind of talked about this earlier today, before we got on. You have any upcoming hunts that are going to be, but you really don't have much, you don't really have much coming in the in the works here, unless
Well,
you get a chance to run up to Alaska and do that moose hunt. But
yeah, I mean, it's not that I have a lot planned. I'm gonna be working as a cameraman this fall for a lot of it, but there's enough over the counter hunts that I've been reading up into, tags that will be available if I happen to be able to break away for 4 or 5 days, but I am gonna get to go on a bear hunt here in Washington, because it opens, or it opens August 1st in some areas and August 15th in others. And I've got a hunt I gotta go film mid-August, but like late August I'm open, so I'm gonna go shoot a couple bears in Washington, I think. And
Sweet.
that'll be like one of my main hunts for the fall, really. That and then probably some late November archery hunts, for mule deer. So I'll get to do a couple. I'll still have a couple films to put out. So
Nice.
I'm excited to do that bear one because I haven't hunted bear a lot. I killed a giant when I was younger, just deer hunting. Got lucky, bumped into it, and since then I really haven't. It's like I got one, and I've always wanted one, but I really haven't hunted them. So I'm kind of excited to get out and actually truly hunt bears. Go on like a 7 day trip where.
And specific for bear,
So that'll be fun. And the country, you hunt them over here in the Cascade Mountains in Western Washington, and it's just gorgeous, high mountain, high basin, rocky, nasty country that this is look and this is looking to be a really good huckleberry year. So there's the bear hunting should be awesome. So.
I remember hunting in the Cascades for Rosies, and I found a really giant bear in this clear cut, and I was like, oh man. I mean, he was a big old pumpkin head. That was a big bear.
Dude, there's
I saw,
so many
yeah.
bears in the Cascades.
That's yeah, that's their, I mean, they love that super wet, dense forest. That's like their thing, man. That's their thing for sure. That's like just like, I mean, go to Canada, it looks just like that. So
And I mean, they offer two tags per person. Like,
wow, that's cool.
so yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited. And between me taking another book, my buddy Tyson, and then potentially I might hook up with Ryan Lampers with Hunt Harvest Health for a couple days there, and we might kind of show him some ropes on filming. He's kind of gonna get started filming his hunts, so
Should tell him to run away. Save your
well,
money.
I don't think he's going for the cinematic film style, more of just like a memory bank, something that the
Got
kid something that the
it.
kids can look back on. So
No. That's cool.
but yeah
Well, awesome, man. Well, where can our listeners find out more about you?
yeah so I'm on Instagram at hard underscore working underscore hunter, and then YouTube channel hard working hunter. So those are the two biggest ones. And yeah, look forward. I still have my elk film from last year that I haven't put out. I'm still working on it. It's same kind of story, trying to make a lot with a little. Don't have a lot of footage, so it's taking a lot more editing. But yeah, and then definitely go check out my Wyoming film from this last year if you haven't already seen it, because that one's pretty epic. I'm really proud of that one. Just
That's good.
that was the opposite. I had so much film and had to break it down into,
You don't know what you want to get rid of. Yeah, that's tough.
So,
That's tough. That's
but
better.
that
That's a better problem to have, though.
yeah.
So.
So yeah, and then yeah, look look for me this winter when I can release that full draw film tour, true conservation film. I think that one's gonna hit a lot of hearts. So that one's gonna be fun to release this winter. So
sweet. Well, yeah. I look forward to see what you guys come up with. Yeah, man, that's all I got for you today.
Yeah.
I know you and I always keep in touch throughout the season going on.
Yeah.
Are you gonna try to make it down to Arizona this year or?
Yeah, it's going to kind of depend on if I have to hit all the shows. So, you know, because that is one problem with that. It's always during show season. So maybe from the looks of it, if I can, it'll be the first week. So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to try.
I know filming's got you busy through November, but there's a bunch of leftover rifle tags. And if you want
to. Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to try to give a go at it, I give you a couple hunt numbers that I know the units real well. You could come down for the rifle season for that week hunt. I think it's mid-November, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like it's 1 week, and I gotta look. I don't ever hunt those November hunts anymore. Just because I'm always somewhere else chasing deer in November. I'll be in South Dakota. Yeah, I'll send it if you're interested. I'll send it to you.
Nice.
So yeah, if you get it in like in the next day or two, you'll probably get a good chance of getting one of those tags.
Oh shoot.
So yeah.
Cool.
Good deal, man. Well, it's good to have you on.
Yeah.
Good to catch up. It's been a couple of weeks or months actually since we talked.
Yeah. But, my plans changed since the last time we talked.
I know. You and I was like, hey, I'm moving to Alaska. I'm like, shit, man.
Yeah, it's all right. Alaska's still on the radar. It just got bumped back a while. So
that's all right.
Yeah, it happens.
That's going to be a temporary thing anyway, I think. You're just going to go up there and kill all the things you can kill as a resident. And come back down, I know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be like a 2-year plan, maybe 3.
There you go.
So, but thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
It's been fun, man.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.